In our culture, in our country, we have so many resources, so many ways that we can get the word fed to us. Be thankful for that. I mean, stop and think about it. I can even think in my lifetime, just since I've been a believer. I got saved in 1982, so I've actually late 1981, so that's a long time. And I can see the changes, even in that time frame, at the accessibility of the Word of God. The number of different versions of the Bible that have come out since that time. How many of us only have one Bible? I mean, most of us have multiple Bibles. And I tend to go through different Bibles that I like at certain times. I've got duplicates of Bibles here at the station that I have at home, and some that I have at my church. I mean, I've got duplicates in three places, and you know, there's always three or four different Bibles that I have at a different time that are with me. You know, I got Bibles in my car. I mean, we have such an availability of the Word of God, so much more than even 31 years ago, when I started serving Jesus Christ. And it's not just the availability of the Bibles and the different versions that we have. I mean, think of the number of radio stations. Again, when I came to Toledo back in 1982, there was not a whole lot of opportunity. There was no Yes FM. There was no Christian television station. There was limited Christian bookstores. And certainly when you stop to think about, you know, what we now have available in addition to the local things, you can turn, whether you have cable, if you have satellite, you can turn on TV, and aside from our local WLMB TV 40 that we have right here, thank you, Jesus, for that. But in addition to that, you can go on, you can watch all kinds of the national networks, you know, all the different Christian networks that are available to us. You can get, it doesn't matter what time of the day, you can find teaching. In fact, you can scan through at any one moment. You can probably choose from between three or four different national preachers that you can hear sharing the Word of God. Somebody sharing the Word of God and bringing some insight. And the Word never returns void. We have so much availability. Think about the publications that we have, the music that's available. So much is available to us that it's so accessible to us that the Word is available in our culture. I think sometimes when we have too much of a good thing, we don't appreciate it. And we don't take advantage of it. Take advantage of all the great things that are available to us. The accessibility of the Word of God. There's absolutely no reason why in our country, in this culture, there's no reason that we shouldn't be seeing a great sweeping change within this culture of more and more people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Listen, I know that there's a lot of comforts in the world that are offered out there, and I know there's a lot of things that are attractive of the world. But the reality is, even those people that have given themselves over to the world, they're not happy and they're not content. It's impossible to be content because they're created by God, and they will never have that full peace, joy, happiness. They'll never have what they're missing. They can try to fill it, and they'll get a temporary fix. But once that passes, they will never find that permanent peace, that fulfillment that can only come from serving Jesus Christ. They're hungry for it. They may not realize it, but they're hungry for it. And we have the resources. We have access to almost unlimited resources in our country to be filled up with the Word. And the more we're filled up with the Word, the more we're filled up with Jesus Christ, the more it's just going to pour out of us. And as it pours out of us, it changes the culture around us. You see, you may not be able to change, you yourself may not be able to change the culture of Toledo or of Lima or Defiance or Wauseon. You may not be able to change the culture of the city, the town where you live by yourself. You may. But I guarantee you can do this. You can change the culture around you. You can influence the culture that's around you. In other words, your sphere of influence, your friends, your family, the people that are involved in your life, those who are co-workers, you can have an impact on them just by the more that you have Jesus Christ in you, the more it's going to come out. When people respond to Jesus Christ, the Jesus that's in you, they're going to respond too. They will be drawn to it. This is how we change lives. So we have so much accessibility to the Word of God. And I say all that to say this. We have so much accessibility to the Word of God. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of times, even though we have that Word available to us, it's not a Word that we make personal. It's not a Word that we take into our own lives and make it something personal. You see, you can't live off someone else's revelation. Thank you, Jesus, for all the different ministers that are available out there on television, on radio, in books and publications. So much is out there. Thank you, Jesus, for all of them. But you know what? You can sit in your pew on Sunday. You can sit at your church and you can listen and you can have a great word given to you by your pastor. But you can't live on his revelation of it. It has to be something that becomes revelation to you. In other words, you have to receive it and think about it. Not just think about it when you hear it, but you need to leave church on Sunday with the word that the pastor gives and take that word and think about it. Go back and read the verses that he gave. If you only got one verse on a Sunday, you can still take that verse and you can spend the rest of the week praying about it, thinking about it, letting the Holy Spirit teach you about it. Now, you might think that sounds extreme, but I'm telling you, with one verse, if you ponder and meditate on that one verse, if you seriously take this home, just think about that verse and ponder it, the Holy Spirit will start showing you things. It becomes revelation to you. And it becomes not someone else's revelation, but it becomes your revelation. Then as you think about that word and the revelation that the Holy Spirit brings you about that word, and you put it in conjunction with what was taught to you by your pastor on Sunday, it just gives you such an exponential depth of understanding of the word. You get that kind of revelation, that's a word that you can use. That's a word that you can stand on. It's a word that you can stand on, because you can't stand on someone else's revelation. Let me read a story to you from the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 19. I'm going to start in verse number 13. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists, this is from the Amplified Bible, by the way. Then some of the traveling Jewish exorcists, men who adjure evil spirits, also undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who had evil spirits. So here we have, this is talking about Jews that would travel around, and you know, they would, this is obviously just after the time of Jesus, and this is Paul and that early church experience, and yet still there were Jews that were going around and exorcising. So these are Jews. These are not ones that know Jesus Christ. These are the ones still from the Jewish faith, but they would travel around. So they actually had people that this is what their responsibility was, to travel around and exorcise demons, men who would adjure evil spirits. Also undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have these Jews who are not giving themselves to the name of Jesus Christ or to the life of Jesus Christ. But what does that tell you about where those Jews were at? Because these were ones that understood there were spiritual things taking place and understood that evil spirits would bring and inflict all kinds of dreadful things upon those that they would inhabit or those that they would afflict against. They understood this. And they understood that there was some spiritual things taking place. And obviously they saw from the disciples, you want to talk about an impact? They saw from Paul and from the other disciples, they saw from those who were serving Jesus Christ. And when I say disciples, I don't just mean the 12. I mean there was an ever-growing list of those who were following Jesus Christ. And even from them, they were seeing there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. So even these Jews who didn't have that relationship with Jesus Christ started to use because they saw the power of the name of Jesus Christ. So they undertook to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I solemnly implore and charge you by the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. So here is these Jewish exorcists that they don't have the relationship with Jesus Christ, but they see the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. So when they're trying to exorcise the demons from the lives of those that they're praying for, they see the power that they saw from Paul. They see the power in the name of Jesus Christ, and they say, you know what? In the name of Jesus Christ, this Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches in the name, the power of that name, they would speak out against those demons. Then in verse number 14, it says, seven sons of a certain Jewish chief priest named Sceva were doing this. So there's seven sons of this priest named Sceva. Seven of his sons are amongst those who are doing this. They're going and they're exorcising demons and they're utilizing the name of Jesus Christ. Have no relationship, but they're utilizing the name of Jesus Christ. In verse number 15, it says, but one evil spirit retorted, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So these Jewish exorcists have confronted a demon, and they've confronted the demon in the name of Jesus Christ. And the demon says, look, Paul I know, Jesus I know, Paul I know, who are you? Verse number 15. But one evil spirit retorted, verse number 16. Then the man in whom the evil spirit dwelt leapt upon them, mastering two of them, and was so violently against them that they dashed out of that house in fear, stripped naked, and wounded. This became known to all who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and alarm and terror fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled and magnified. Here's these exorcists who are utilizing the name of Jesus Christ, with whom they have no relationship. But they saw the power that was in the name of Jesus Christ. But they had no relationship. They were trying to live off of Paul. They saw the experience. They saw that Paul had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. They saw that in the name of Jesus Christ, that when Paul used the name of Jesus Christ, that things happened, things changed, and that even demons responded to the authority that Paul utilized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they wanted that same power and that authority, but they had no relationship. They didn't have any covenant. They had no covenant with Jesus Christ. They were trying to live off of the covenant. They were trying to live off the relationship that Paul had. You can't live off someone else's relationship, and you can't live off somebody else's revelation. The Word of God has to become revelation to us. You know, when things come up in your life, difficulties or stresses or strains, when things come up in your life and you try to apply the Word of God, and we have a prevalence of the Word of God. We have the Word of God available to us in so many avenues and so many resources. So available to us. But it has to be something that is a personal thing with me. I have to spend time in the Word. I have to listen to what I hear others teaching. I have to spend my own time in the Word. I have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is showing me. It has to become personal to me. It has to become my own revelation. You know, when something happens and something comes up in my life, I can't say, well, in the faith that my pastor has, or in the faith that my good friend or my father, in the faith of them and their faith in this word, I'm speaking this word over my situation. Well, it has to be your own, it has to be your knowledge, your faith, your revelation. You can't live on someone else's revelation. If you try to live off someone else's revelation when evil times come, and if you would ever be presented in a situation like this, this is the same response you would get. Because if a demon would come against you and afflict you with something, and you would say, well, in the faith of my pastor said this word. No, it has to be your. It has to be the word that you know and that you believe. It has to be a revelation that you have. And that revelation comes, and it sounds like, I know that sometimes it sounds like I'm saying, well, it seems like that's something hard to achieve. It seems like that's something that can, well, that's only really for men of God. That's only for women of God. It's only for those who have gone to seminary. Well, that's something that, you know, getting wisdom and insights from the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, getting that kind of revelation knowledge, that's only for those who are the really advanced saints. I'm just an average, everyday believer in Jesus Christ. That's all you have to be. You don't have to be a third-level saint. You don't have to have climbed the ladder and gotten, well, you know, you're up almost to the black belt level where you can take on the enemy. Not yet. You haven't got your black belt yet in spiritual knowledge and revelation, so until you get that, you can't take on the devil. No, that's silly. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You have a covenant relationship with him. You are a member of the covenant, and you have the power and the authority of Jesus' name. But it has to be something that you know and that you believe. It can't be a revelation that is the revelation of your pastor or the revelation of someone else that you know knows the word. It has to be your revelation. And it can be your revelation. It's not a hard thing. I know sometimes we think it is, but it's not a hard thing. If I give myself to the Word of God, and this is the challenge I would give to you, whatever you read today in the Word of God, just spend a few minutes, read the Word of God. Just read two or three verses. And then think about those verses. Our mistake is we close the Bible after we've read the Word, and then we don't think about it. If you spent time in the Word this morning, can you tell me now what verses you read? You know, so often it's easy, and I do this myself, where I think a few hours later, what was it I read earlier? It's because I'm not meditating on the Word. But if I read the Word and I think about it, I read the Word before I do anything else in the morning. Then when I'm taking a shower, I'm thinking about the Word. When I'm getting ready, I'm thinking about the Word. When I get in the car, I'm thinking about that Word. Now I think about other things as well, but that Word keeps coming back to me and I remind myself of it because it's in meditating on the Word that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to show you things. It's not a hard or a complex thing. We make it hard, but it's not. There's another example I want to show you. We don't have time today, but We can really see how important this is when we look at even the story of Adam and Eve. It has to be your word. It has to be the word that you have. It is your word. Anything, every promise in here, it's your word. It's Jesus Christ speaking to you. It's your word. Believe it. Take it in your own heart. Make it your own. Let it become your own revelation of the truth. Because if you think that your pastor believes in healing, but you don't believe in healing, it's not going to work for you. You have to believe it yourself. It has to become your revelation to realize and receive those things. And the Holy Spirit gives you the insights and the excitement and the stirring to, if I apply myself, He will bring that revelation, and it can become my word. It can become your word. That's where you're able to stand and see the great things. You can't live off someone else's revelation. It's got to be your revelation. And as it becomes your revelation, you're going to impact and influence the culture.